Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride. Looks like we got a text about the arts.
We did. We had a discussion about how important it is to support our local arts groups. And Craig from Waukesha texted in, I am totally blind and working with a group called the American Council for the Blind. They work to provide audio descriptions of theater to people like me who are blind or visually impaired. We want to make the arts accessible experience to all people. With equal opportunities for all, which is wonderful.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
That's really, what was the name of the organization?
It is the American Council for the Blind.
Oh, that's so interesting. I have realized on Instagram and Twitter, when you post an image or a video, there's now more opportunity to have a description of what the image is.
Nice.
Similar to what Craig said as far as when someone who is blind is on Twitter or Instagram, having it read to them along with the caption, which I thought was really interesting.
It is, again, to open things up a little bit more, right? There's people of all abilities.
Exactly. So I haven't been on stage doing stand-up in a very long time, but it's one of those things that's like, every time I see a stand-up, I'm like, I'm going to go back. I'm going to find time to write new jokes.
Where are you going to squish that in, lady? You may have to wait. You may have to wait the rest of the year.
That's probably true. But I had when I had like a good 8 minutes when I was in New York, and I had a little bit of a section on being from Wisconsin, which I'm also like, will those jokes land here? But whatever. So I had a joke about. So I would ask the crowd, Wisconsin, like, what do you, and this would be typically be in New York, so what do you know about Wisconsin? And most, you know, people would yell cheese curds, or it's not really people. I feel like I rarely got fish fries. Like, I feel like outside of Wisconsin's not known for fish fries. It's like cheese,
cows,
beer, cows, brats, Aaron Rodgers, Packers, and then I would take all those things and I'd say, and cranberries.
Oh yeah,
bet you didn't know that. No, Wisconsin produces 60% of the country's cranberries. To put that into context, we only make a quarter of the country's cheese, yet we probably wear yellow foam triangles on our heads as hats. And then I said, cranberries, it's just so off-brand. It's like if Paula Deen was secretly making Lara bars. and then I said, I don't know, maybe it's just because cranberries don't make good hats. So
has anyone tried a cranberry hat?
It would look like a big reindeer, like nose. Rudolph nose, just on your head, right?
Which I find somewhat appealing, actually, as compared to the cheese wedge.
Have you ever worn a cheese hat?
I have never worn a cheese hat. No.
You've just been like, no, thank you.
Well, for one thing, when you wear a hat, you are married to the hat.
It's true.
You know, you start sweating and it changes your hair. And it's like, if you're putting it on, it's got to stay on. And I might be more inclined to do that with a Rudolph nose than a cheese wedge.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
Well, I bring up my mediocre joke of past because, I mean, it is something that we do know that Wisconsin is the number one producer of cranberries in the country.
Yes.
And you actually found this as far as a new research station that is working towards keeping that us an innovative cranberry producer.
Take a listen.
This industry is generational in and amongst itself. We have fourth, fifth, sixth generation growers. That's not uncommon. And they look for ways to be able to pass their farms and their legacy on to the next generation. And that's what we're trying to do here.
So that sound is courtesy of WKBT. And it was Wisconsin Cranberry Research Foundation Executive Director Tom Lochner. And that's where most of the cranberry marshes are. In Wisconsin, it's typically where my parents live. So this is Wisconsin Rapids area.
Rapids, Plover.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think growing up, I knew that there was cranberries were big. I had an uncle who worked for Ocean Spray and all of that. But I feel like it's certainly not something that people associate with Wisconsin.
Not like we do with cheese.
No.
Not even close.
But and yet it's just so funny because it's such a, we produce so much more of it. As far as like the market share and supply of the country than cheese, because we are second to California in cheese.
They're club cows. I wouldn't trust those cows. Who knows what they're ingesting?
I think our cows are happier here. Yes. I would agree. But that got me thinking about other Wisconsin exports that might surprise people.
Things you didn't know about.
Things you didn't know that we are like either number one or number two producer of that I don't think when you think of Wisconsin, you typically think of these products.
Right.
So the first one, kind of still in the dairy realm, but is milk goats. Not milk cows, but milk goats.
For goat cheese.
For goat cheese, goat milk. But we're number two in milk cows, but we have 46,000 milk goats, which is 13% of the U.S. total.
Wow.
Yeah. And so goat milk, much of which is made into excellent cheese, is higher protein and calcium and lower in sugar than moo juice.
I love goat cheese.
I typically, if there's something that has goat cheese on it, on a menu, that's what I'm going to order.
Yeah.
It's delicious. It is delicious.
And goats are hilarious.
Baby goats. It's hard to beat a baby goat.
They boing.
Yeah.
Boing, boing, boing.
And I mean, go to Wausau. Mayor Katie Rosenberg has employed the goats to be taking care of the bramble and all of the, instead of pesticides, of letting the goats eat the unwanted vegetation. All right, number two, dry whey.
W-H-E-Y?
W-H-E-Y. So
dry?
Not just Miss Muffet. Miss Muffet's Tuffets.
I don't even know what whey is. Isn't it a dairy after product?
Yeah. So it's the byproduct remaining after milk curdles. And so when it's dried, it becomes like it's like whey powder for people to get swole when they're trying to gain weight. It's like all those like weightlifters and stuff like that add whey protein to their smoothies.
Okay.
For caloric intake,
so they can bulk up more.
I mean, I think there's probably more reasons than just that, but it's like whey protein powder.
Okay, then I'm staying well away from whey.
It's like this scene in Mean Girls where she keeps giving her diet bars that are actually meant for like African children to gain weight.
Why do I keep getting fat? I don't understand.
Number three, maybe have mixed feelings on this one, is mink pelts.
I knew that Wisconsin was involved in that. I didn't realize that we were... I always thought that that was more of a European thing.
Wisconsin raises more than 1.2 million mink who are destined to be...
Coats.
Coats. Or, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's about 1/3 of the nationwide total.
Wow.
And I remember learning about this because there was a whole issue with COVID outbreaks in like mink farms.
Yes.
And that they were contracting it and getting really sick. And that was when I first learned of how much of an industry that still is here. And I guess that's like kind of where our heritage is, because you think about the fur traders in before we were technically a state.
Oh, well before we were technically.
Yeah,
I mean, French fur traders and certainly the indigenous people harvested furs and things like that.
Feels a little different now than then.
Well, and I can't imagine, you know, I'm considerably older than you, and my generation did not have a problem with wearing fur. And I think that's a completely different situation now. Wouldn't you scorn someone of your generation who was walking around in a mink coat?
Me personally, I typically try to be light-handed in now at this age. When I was younger, I think I was a little more like finger waggy as far as what people should or should not do. If I saw someone wearing a fur coat now, I might give like a slight like
sneer.
But like I might like poke a little bit and just you know what I actually end up asking is if you inherited it, because I feel like there's something like my mom. I don't know if this was the 80s. My dad got her a fur coat at one point, and she's like, "What the hell am I going to wear that?"
Right.
And I think she maybe wore it like twice. It was beautiful. And I remember when I got older, I was like, that was the only way I would have worn a fur coat, is had I gotten it from her and like inherited it versus like buying a net new one.
Right.
And she had given it to our like family friend / cleaning lady. She was like, "I gave it to Berlin years ago. You don't want to wear that." I was like, "You didn't ask me though."
Well, so, and I know you could buy them on eBay. You know, there were secondhand
so I feel like
you could buy.
I would certainly never buy a new one. And I think when I see someone who wears it, it's like, "Oh, is that like a family heirloom?" And if they go, "No, I just bought it," it's like, meh. But clearly, there's still a demand. 1.2 million mink a year.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of fur. All right. Number four, beets.
Ew.
You don't like beets? You don't like beets with goat cheese?
I don't like beets.
Try beets with goat cheese on a salad.
Cold beets.
Cold beets.
Because my husband loves them.
Cold beets sliced up on a salad, like champagne vinaigrette dressing.
Really?
Very good. The goat cheese cuts through the bitterness of the beet.
Okay. That would help.
Mm-hmm.
I have memories when we were growing up, there was a big field outside of town, and then the trucks would come into town full of beets, dripping the beet juice down the middle of the road.
It just looked like blood.
Yeah, it did not look good. Not terribly appetizing. And Mom was big on beets, so we ate them cold, we ate them warm, we ate them... Ugh.
They're very good for your digestion, I think.
I'm sure.
Anything with that much like color has to be good for you. But yeah, Wisconsin grows nearly half, 47% of the processed beets in the U.S.
Gosh, that's huge.
Yeah, I didn't know that one.
How did we end up the dairy state and not the beet state?
I don't
know.
But yeah, and especially because I always feel like rutabaga is like more considered quintessential Wisconsin. Like I feel like Charlie Behrens has lots of jokes about like
rutabagas.
Isn't it the rutabaga? Yeah, I feel like, am I making that up? Am I totally in?
I'm not sure. Because rutabagas, and I have had rutabagas too, they're kind of tasteless.
Well, they're also another root plant that's
yeah,
like kind of like
root,
bitter-ish.
But it's, you got to do something with it. You wouldn't just have, let's have a slice of rutabaga. I get that. Maybe there are people who are. I don't know. You can call and tell us.
I feel like it's one of those ones that gets put into like a pie. And so then all of a sudden it becomes a lot more flavorful because there's just cups and cups of sugar involved.
Or a stew. You know, you put it in a stew or something, or a soup or something like that.
Number five, ginseng.
This I knew.
You knew this one?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, many people believe that ginseng root has health benefits and can reduce stress, as we were talking about it being National Relaxation Day. But it's very popular in Asian countries. I would say, I don't know how popular it is here, but the best ginseng is grown in Wisconsin, supposedly. And they have their own festival. There's International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival, which is, do you know what part of the year it is?
When would ginseng be ripe? How about June?
I'm thinking it might be September. I'm trying to look up this quickly on the fly.
The Great Ginseng
Festival.
Here we
go. Festival. Yeah, mark your calendars. For 2022, we will be hosting a ginseng celebration that will coordinate with the Marathon Fun Days in the village of Marathon City on Saturday, September 3rd. I don't know if that's the international festival, though. Come back. We'll look that up.
We'll revisit.
But yeah, so ginseng. And then just because this last one shouldn't be surprising when you really think of
where we are.
Where we are and
who we are.
Exactly. But there's just something that's so funny about it. We are the number one exporter of bovine genetics. Also known as bull semen.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
But yeah, so we have lots of bulls, and we not only to artificially inseminate our cows, but to artificially inseminate cows all over the country. So we export $91 million worth of the stuff annually, and more than half of it, like we supply more than half for the U.S.
Wow.
Just from Wisconsin.
So we're like the state that's the grandfather of almost all cows.
Exactly. So, and it was funny because I'll say this story quickly before we go to break. Last year, I got to go to a dairy farm, and it was so much fun. Shout out to Dairy Carrie on social media. And I asked her, I was like, do you have any bulls on the farm? She goes, no, I have kids. And she just made it sound like bulls are so dangerous to just have around because they're so, you know.
And volatile.
And testosterone. And literally while I was there, her like bull semen guy showed up with his little like milk carton of sperm. And like there, it's all like perfectly at the right temperature. And he's there to, and they, I don't know. It was wild, but yeah, real thing. All right. As good Wisconsin.
We need new t-shirts and hats.